As you know, I have my liturgical phrase each morning. It's the Word of God that we repeat again and again. This is the day. Well, it's a little weak today. I know we're all tired, but I only got half a night of sleep, and I'm up here. So let's hear it again. This is the day. All right. I will rejoice. All right. When I was a kid, my camp counselors would come around, and then when I became a camp counselor, I would come around and say, "Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, get up." I don't do that anymore. I just sleep in when I can, but I haven't been able to sleep in here. So it's been a joy to be here. These 9 days, and it's I love being back in Western Pennsylvania, where I was born and grew up, and I love being here in the camp where I attended as a child and as a youth, it's just such a blessing. It was a number of years ago that we did Rekindle the Flame gatherings on bringing back the power of the Holy Spirit to the church. And I had such joy when we had one in the Mars Alliance Church where I grew up, and it was just like going back home and seeing the Spirit of God move. It's just really, really beautiful. So I am here today in a little different capacity than throughout the week. I got Pastor Dan's permission to diverge from what he assigned me to. I've been trying to be obedient to him this week, but I felt like the Spirit was just urging me in different directions. And so I had about six messages that I wanted to preach. Now, fortunately, Jonathan preached one of them last night. And so I only have five messages today to preach. I really appreciated Jonathan's message last night. And I love to preach and teach on healing because I've seen God as our healer. I wrote two books. One's God's Healing Arsenal. And I went through third stage rectal cancer in 2007. And just as I was teaching a seminary course on healing. And when I got the diagnosis, I was just taken aback, and I said, "Lord, why me?" And he said, "Why not you? Why shouldn't you be attacked when you're teaching on healing?" So I had to live out what I was teaching. And so I went to my class and said, "This is no longer academic. You get to pray for me every class session, and your grade depends on whether I get healed or not." I once student drop out of class. That'll do a lot for your faith. Now, God, I've seen God as our healer in so many ways. God healed me, after I had done radiation and chemo, and I said, "Oh, you've done amazing, more than it should do." And then I had surgery, they said that they couldn't find, when they cut me open, took stuff out, they said, "We can't find any sign of cancer." Well, can you put it back? No, not quite. But I was cancer-free. And I said, "Lord, if you told me to go ahead and have the surgery, then why did you tell me? Why did you have me go through this? Why is it that I needed to go through this when you said that I was already healed?" The Lord told me two things. One, he said, "You have an automatic testimony of doctor's results that there's no carcinoma in your body." And I didn't have to have any follow-up or anything. And secondly, you have identified with all of those who are suffering and hurting and are going through similar types of things. Because I went through a lot of pain, and then I had hiccups for 3 days. And it was like, felt like getting stabbed each time I had a hiccup. But God was good in all of that. I could tell so many stories. I'm still going to get into healing. Sorry, Jonathan, that's not my intention. My son was healed of Crohn's disease in 1999. He nearly died on the operating table. His intestines perforated, gangrene had set in, but God dramatically healed him. Like I said, he didn't, you know, he wouldn't have a short life, and God did amazing things, and now he's a professor of philosophy. He teaches adjunct at Toccoa Falls and has three of our grandchildren. And my wife had successful open-heart surgery to replace an aortic valve, and then a week later, she flatlined four times. And I thought that was it. But I rebuked death, and the Lord brought her back. And she's on her second pacemaker and doing fine. And my daughter Sarah was healed of epilepsy. I could go on and on. But I also, as Jonathan said last night, there's the miracles that don't happen. And in my book, God's Healing Arsenal, I have a couple chapters on it, when the miracle doesn't occur. And I knew Jonathan's sister and brother-in-law long before I knew Jonathan, been in their home and done seminars in their church. I knew their story, and Jack gave me permission to share the story, and he wrote it out, and it's in my book, God's Healing Arsenal. And it is very painful, it hurts, but God brings us through it all. So today, I want to share, by the way, last chance for books. I'll pack up the books later. So last chance, there's a few books, Living in the Border Zone, which I'll talk about a little bit today. The Authority of the Believer, there's a couple of women in ministry and a few others. But this is your chance to get them today. So my name is Paul, in case you didn't know. But my name for the first 3 days of my life was not Paul. It was Larry. A cousin of mine found a little birth announcement written in my mother's handwriting that said, Larry James King, May 15, 1951, and with the footprint. My cousin asked, did you have a twin? Did the twin die? What happened? I had a cousin born a month or so ahead of me, and they named him Larry. So I think there was some sort of family conflict about having two Larry Kings. Otherwise, you could have Larry King live here. So you have to have me instead. But as a result, having the name of Paul on my birth certificate 3 days later, I realized that God doesn't make mistakes, and he does things in his way. And so God had a purpose in me being called Paul. So Paul's been my mentor through my life, Paul's writings and just seeking to know more of the word, especially in Paul's writings, but not to the neglect of the rest of Scripture. For me, the Scripture, my life story, is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. So you can turn in your Bibles to Philippians 3. And verses 10 to 14, let's see if I can get my PowerPoint back up here. It suddenly disappeared. Okay, here we go. So I've entitled this, Come Up Higher, Our Call to the Higher Christian Life. And this has been my heart all through my ministry. I was called to the ministry at the age of 12, but I was... pretend preaching before a pulpit in the fourth grade. And then went through a period of rebellion in junior high, rededicated my life to Christ and called a ministry at Life Conference in 1967. And my pastor, as well as my father, gave me all kinds of A.B. Simpson and Tozer books. And so I was reading these voraciously in my senior high years. And I read The Pursuit of God through twice before I graduated from high school. And I know that I have read that book at least a dozen more times since then. And I've used it in the classes that I have taught. And that's really my heart, is the pursuit of God. So Paul's writing in Philippians 3, and he's in prison when he's writing this. And it's amazing that he would write such a book. It's all about joy. 16 times in Philippians is the word joy or rejoice. And he's doing this while he's in prison. And later in the fourth chapter, he says, I'm content to have nothing and content to have wealth. And so I might be content to have wealth, but I don't know if I'd be so content to have nothing. But I'm learning from the Apostle Paul. And so he says, and he goes on the first part of chapter 3, and he's giving his accolades of all of the things that he has achieved. He's the top of this. He does this to the uttermost and all of these things. And he says, all of this, I count it as rubbish for the sake of seeking Jesus and knowing Jesus. And then he says this, that I may know him, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, that in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead, that I may know him. Now, the Apostle Paul was in prison, and this was about approximately 25 years after his conversion. And he had a very dramatic conversion because he had this light shine from heaven that blinded him, and he fell before the Lord, and he had that life-changing Damascus Road experience. Not too many of us have that radical an experience. And so he heard Jesus speaking to him, and he's had all of these experiences with God through the years, and he's seen visions and been caught up to the third heaven and all of these things. And he says, yet, that I may know him. Surely he knew Jesus. Surely he knew Jesus more than any of us had ever experienced Jesus. And yet he says, that I may know him. I'm willing to give it all up. I'm willing to die for his sake, that I might know him. And that word know doesn't mean to know intellectually, but to know intimately, to know with all of our heart and soul and might, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and might, and so that I may know him. And so no matter where we are in our Christian life, no matter what we have experienced, we can't say, well, I've been there and I've done that. Because there's always something more of Jesus. There's an old gospel song, and I didn't put the words up there, but more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, more of his love who died for me. And my wife keeps on telling me not to sing all the verses of the song, so I just sing that one for you today. But that's the heart of it. We want to know more of Jesus, more of his word, more of his love, more of his grace, more of his power, just more Jesus of you. And we have this song. I want Blessed Assurance sung at my funeral. And I want it. So if I keel over and you have a funeral here for me, you can sing that. But the other one that some of God's great people have died, you know, V. Raymond Edmond died while he was in the pulpit preaching at Wheaton College as president of Wheaton. But to know him, there's this chorus, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Can you sing it with me? Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. I could go all day singing that, knowing you, Jesus, that I may know you. And then he says that I might know the power of his resurrection. Now, again, Paul's, he's in the later years of his life, and he's had all kinds of miraculous things happened to him and through him. He's seen visions. He's experienced the baptism filling the Spirit 3 days after his conversion. He was healed. He had healed thousands of people and even laying cloths, sending out cloths to be laid on them. And I don't recommend you do that unless the Lord just really tells you to. He had cast out demons. He had even raised a dead boy who got tired of his preaching and fell off the windowsill. Fortunately, you're all on the first floor, so if you get tired, you won't fall that far today. That I may know the power of his resurrection. He had experienced all of this. He had experienced himself being stoned to the point of death and left for dead. And then he gets up and walks to the next city several miles away the next day. And so he had that power of the resurrection. He said he spoke in tongues more than anybody else. And yet he wants to know more of the power of the resurrection. There's something more of resurrection power. It was A.B. Simpson spoke of this when he said that there are deeper and fuller baptisms in the Holy Spirit. He said the baptism in the Spirit is the elevator to the higher planes of the Christian life. And A.B. Simpson and the Alliance was one of the leading higher life movement contributors there in those days. We talk a lot in the Alliance about the deeper life, but Simpson talked more about the higher life. And so, in fact, I was years ago, I was talking about this with Gary Benedict and our president back then, and he said, "Well, you know, I know the deeper life, but what do you mean by the higher life?" And so I had to explain it to our president because we haven't used that language much, but that's really the language that A.B. Simpson used, and so that we might be raised up, lifted up to the higher life, to the heavenly life, and that we might go higher and deeper and fuller, and that's all what it's all about. And I have a book that I compiled of his writings, Higher, Deeper, and Fuller. I only have one copy left there, but you can get it on Amazon or through my website. But that I might know him more and more. There's no stopping place. And there are times in which, yes, we need to be filled with the Spirit again and again. As Dwight Moody says, we need to be filled because we leak. But God wants us to stop off the leaks and then continue to be filled. But we get a higher, deeper feeling because now we have a greater capacity. Our capacity to be filled increases. A.B. Simpson talked about that, about increasing our capacity to hold more of God. And so God wants to take us deeper and higher and fuller. And then the next part, I think everybody would like us to skip. That I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. And we've talked a lot about that this week. Rock talked about it. Jonathan has talked about it. It's all a part of the package. We say, oh, yeah, I want more and more of Jesus and his power, but more and more of his sufferings. That we don't have to go around asking, Lord, make me suffer. We'll suffer enough anyhow. But to, in those sufferings, to have, find the fellowship of God. Intimacy with God in those sufferings. When I had cancer, I had preached on John 15, abiding in Christ. I preached on that a number of times. Throughout my ministry, but I learned what it means to abide in Christ in a deeper dimension as I was going through cancer. And as I was laying on the sofa, I had a picture of Jesus on the wall, kept my eyes fixed on Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. And the day after I was diagnosed, I went to a used book sale that a lot of religious books. You can't keep a preacher and a professor away from a book sale, even if he's got cancer. So, but I picked up this book by Andrew Murray, and I thought I had all of them. I had about 15 of Andrew Murray's books, but this one was on John 15, Abide in Christ. And I learned in greater, deeper, and higher dimensions what it means to abide in Christ. Be sharing those sufferings together, and as well sharing the sufferings with others who have suffered. And that draws us nearer to God, and it draws us nearer to other people. And we go deeper and fuller we have to go deeper in order to go higher, being conformed to his death, dying to ourselves, in order that we may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, that's not talking about resurrection from the dead when Christ returns. There's a different Greek word for that. This is arising from the deadness of our life here and now, that we may attain to resurrection life. You know, we talk about dying to self a lot, and I guess my memories here in Western Pennsylvania is we were always talking about die, 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 kill the flesh, crucify the flesh, and all of that. And I heard plenty of that, and I felt like, Lord, I have so much flesh, I can never make it. And so I just never felt like I could please God. I couldn't please my parents. And I had to come to the place and realize that I have resurrection life. That's the other side of the cross message, is the Christ life message, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, and is the resurrection life that is rising up within us that enables us to overcome temptation. It enables us to overcome depression. It enables us to overcome all the wickedness that comes against us. It enables us and empowers us to do more than we can do possibly in ourselves. And he says, not that I've already obtained this or have already become perfect, but I press on more that I might lay hold of that for which God, Christ laid hold of me. The word there means to grasp, that I may grasp onto what Jesus grasped hold of me for. And I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. I'm not there. But one thing I do, one thing I do. It's hard to get down to that one thing because there's so many things. And I've written 20 books, and if the Lord lets me tarry, it'll be another 10 or so. And I must be latent ADHD. I don't know. But sometimes I get off on other tracks, and there's so many things that can distract us. But to hold on to that one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing. Mary had the one thing that was necessary according to Jesus. One thing, forgetting what lies behind. And then he's referring there back to what he said in the early part of Philippians 3, of all his different accolades of the things that he had gone through, as well as the sufferings. And he says, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting the experiences, forgetting the attainments, forgetting all of the blessings, not that we are no longer appreciating them, but that we're putting them in their proper place, and that we are willing to lay those things down for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the same is true if there's that forgetting what lies behind is the things that hold us down and hold us back, the hurts, the wounds, the bitternesses, the injustices, all of those things. If we focus on those things, those pull us down and we can't live that higher Christian life. So he says, forget what lies behind, the good and the bad. And the word forget doesn't mean to just have amnesia. The word forget means that it no longer has the meaning that it had before. It no longer matters. One of the great things in my experience with cancer was I experienced terrible, excruciating pain, even with morphine. And then when I had those hiccups and it felt like somebody was stabbing me in the gut, I can remember that, but I cannot remember the pain. I can remember having pain, but I can't remember the pain. And that's the key, is that the scars may still be there, and the memory of the pain might still be there, whether it was something physical, emotional, spiritual, whether it was something somebody said or did to us or whatever, that pain, the memory of the pain would still be there, but to get to the place where it no longer pains you, where it no longer holds you back and holds you down. I had a number of years ago, leader did wrong to me, and I said, I forgive, you know. But I was trying to forgive, and then I found out, and this was maybe 5 years later, I found out that he was going to be on the speaking roster along with me. Ooh, now that's tough. I don't know if I want to be on the speaking roster with him. But the Lord said, go. And so I had to really be able to fully forgive to be on that speaking roster together. Now, he never apologized, but he was friendly to me, had me on a podcast, and I thought, well, he could really rake me over on the podcast, but he was pretty kind to me. And so there's those things that if we are really walking in holiness and the deeper and the higher life, that then we will forget the pain and won't be experiencing that pain again. If we're still wounded and we're carrying around those wounds and bleeding not only on ourselves but on others, then we can't be of much use to the Lord. But that's part of the sanctifying life, is to be able to forgive and to move on, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. There are so many who say, well, I'm a believer, I've been saved and sanctified, and that's all there is. A.W. Tozer used to have a saying about people who are saved, sanctified, and petrified. They just become a piece of petrified wood. We don't want to be petrified. We want to continue to be reaching forward to the more that lies ahead. We think we've experienced the Christian life. There's so much more. Whatever experiences that we had, we might have had visions and dreams and supernatural things happen to us, but there's so much more, and we don't dwell upon those supernatural things, and if we don't dwell upon them, God may do some even more supernatural things. If we dwell upon them, then he's not going to give us more supernatural unless we're ready to handle it. So a press for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus and following that call for the very highest. And, you know, he's writing this in prison, and he also wrote letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians and to Philippians. He writes to the Ephesians. That's my favorite book of the Bible. I've preached that in three churches, 22 weeks preaching through Ephesians, because there's so much there. But if anybody complains about it, I just tell them, well, my mentor preaching-wise is Martin Lloyd-Jones, who spent 3 years preaching through Ephesians. So I'm not going to take anybody that far through it. But the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 19 has amazing words that, you know, I could spend the whole week just preaching on these verses. Ephesians 1, verse 16. I do not cease giving thanks for you, Ephesians, and then this was an open letter to other churches as well, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge, literally the full knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Sound familiar? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yeah, that's the scripture. That the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. And hope is not just an if, maybe hope, but it's an expectation, the expectation of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And Jonathan's been talking about the treasure of Jesus, this glory of this treasure inheritance. That's it. And there's so much. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Literally, it's the surpassing greatness of his power into us who believe. And he goes on to that in the third chapter when he says that beyond your imaginations, he has his power working within us. And that power and that energizing is way beyond what we understand. And then he goes beyond that, and see, he's just taking us further and further and further. He says over in Ephesians 2 and verses 4 to 6, but God, don't you love those places in scripture it says, but God. He's talking about we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, Oh, there's so many but gods in our life that really redeem us from all of the problems that we have again and again and again. But God being rich in mercy, oh, we could spend a whole week just talking about that. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, and he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him. Where? In the heavenly places. Where is Jesus seated? On the throne of God, at the right hand of God. We are his body. And if we are his body and we're seated with him on the right hand in heavenly places, we are seated on the throne of God with him. Spiritually in the heavenly places. It's hard to fathom that. But he says, this is where you are. We're seated there. We oftentimes don't act like we're seated there, but we are seated there. Now, if I was really doing this and I didn't have any time in my space in my luggage, I would bring out my second doctoral robe was from the University of South Africa. And it's not like the doctoral robes here. We have the three stripes. It's a plum and purple robe. And, you know, it just looks like a royal robe. And I love to bring that and say, okay, who wants to come and wear this? And I have few takers. And, you know, everybody gets embarrassed until after the service, and then there's a whole line of people that want to try it on, and especially the kids. But that we have been seated in heavenly places, we're in royalty. And A.B. Simpson said, this is throne life. That's the term that he gave it. This is throne life. It's dwelling with Christ on high, your head in the heavenlies, even while your feet still walk the paths of the lower world of sense and time. This is our high privilege. And he talks about beginning to live the millennial life now. He says there's a millennium for the soul and there's a millennium for the church. We begin to live that millennial life now. It's what that theologians now call the kingdom is here now, but not fully here yet. A.B. Simpson was teaching it decades before that ever came out in theology. But in all of this, it takes us higher and deeper and fuller than we can imagine. We say, oh, I can't go that far. Can't do that. Well, in ourselves, of course, we cannot. But in Jesus, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, Philippians 4:13 tells us. When I was going through my cancer experience and I would go for radiation every day, I'd go to work at 7 o'clock at the university and then I'd go at 9 o'clock for radiation and they zap me from three different angles and then I'd go back and do that 5 days a week. I had a chemo pack that I wore 5 days a week. And that can be very wearying and sickening at times. And I didn't lose a single day of work. It wasn't because Paul King is tough. You know, somebody said, you must be tough. And I said, no, Paul King's a wimp. When I was growing up, I screamed if I had to go to the doctor and get a shot. I'm a wimp when it comes to that. But it's the power that he gives us to do what we cannot do on our own. And he raises us up to more weak than we can be. So when I would go to get that radiation done, there's two songs that I would play as I'm going there and back. And one of them was sung yesterday, was In Christ Alone I Stand. Whether he comes or he takes me home, in Christ alone I stand. And I stood upon that. And the other one was, You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I'm strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There were times that I was so weak I could not pick up a pen. But he raised me up. And there were the times in which, after I had the surgery, and even though I was declared cancer-free, I still had all this recovery in my body. And I actually had an ileostomy bag for 6 weeks. And 3 weeks in, I was teaching another class on healing, believe it or not. And I had a medical doctor in there that she said, you are exhibit A of what God can do. And then she endorsed my book when it came out. But how did I do it? I felt so weak. I said, God, I can't do this. And he says, that's good. And I drew upon his strength. And I would go, and the doctor said I could teach half day. So I would go, and I would teach. And I would take a break after each hour, go out and empty my ileostomy bag and come back and teach again. I know this is kind of gross, but I'm telling it like it is, you know. But you know, the more that I taught, the more energized I became. Because if we are walking in the Spirit and doing what He wants us to do, He gives us the energy when we can't do it on our own. And He raises us up to do what we cannot do on our own. And so then we are bid by Paul to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. You get tired, you get weary, you think you can't make it. By Christ, you can. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, what fully enchants you to remain in a pit when you can sit on a throne? Do not live in the lowlands of bondage that now that mountain liberty is conferred on you. Do not be satisfied any longer with your tiny attainments, but press forward to things more sublime and heavenly. Aspire to a higher, a nobler, a fuller life, upward to heaven, nearer to God. And if you remember from the Chronicles of Narnia, the last battle, there was further up and further in. God is taking us more and more. One of the songs of the higher life that was written in the 1800s, it's one that I sing again and again, and it was in the Old Alliance hymnals. I don't know if it may have been years that you've sung it. Some of you may not know it, but let's stand together. And we're going to sing, I'm pressing on the upward way, pressing on to the higher life. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not just saved us, but you have saved and sanctified and healed us, and you have brought us into the place to begin living the millennial life, and then you'll come and fulfill it. And Lord, there's so much more than what we've experienced. There's so much more of you, so much more of your life, so much more of your word, so much more of your kingdom to not just experience, but to share with others, that they may have your life and your power and your love and your joy as well. Do your work in us, Lord. Change us, transform us, take us deeper, take us higher. We want to know you more and all that you have for our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come and do your work in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. And I've got a few books I'll pack up in just a little while if you're interested in them. If there's anybody who wants to pray, you can come down to the altar and pray for what God is speaking you to about. Or if you want to receive prayer, we'd be glad to do that as well. God bless you. Go forth into that higher, deeper life, more of Jesus.